Hi, and welcome to the Magazine Rack on Chris. I'm Emily. Today, I'll be reading from the July 2024 edition of Prevention Magazine. Our first article is from the Health section, titled, What's Up with a Stiff Neck? You don't really appreciate the ability to turn your head until you can't, by Kayla Blanton. When you wake up and can't even swivel to look at the alarm clock, you know something is wrong. Unlike neck pain caused by nerve damage, which feels sharp and achy, a stiff neck is reduced mobility caused by muscle strain, says Toronto osteopath Liza Egboga, D.C. What causes the crick? In addition to injuries and arthritis, these lifestyle factors can be culprits. Stress. We tend to store a lot of tension in our neck and shoulders, says Egboga. This muscle tension can cause the neck to stiffen up. Phone use. It is amazing how often we see stiff necks caused by chronic forward head leaning for texting, says New York City chiropractor Carrick Erickson, D.C. Cradling your phone between your ear and your shoulder can also cause stiffness and pain, says Egboga. Sleep posture. Snoozing without proper neck support can cause muscles to tighten up and neck joints to feel stiff, says Egboga. This is especially true for those who sleep on their stomachs, as the position requires you to twist your neck, she adds. How to stop the stiffness. Applying heat, using arnica cream, and gently massaging the spot can help ease the pain, says Erickson. To prevent stiffness in the first place, set up an ergonomic workspace. Keep your computer monitor at eye level. Use a separate keyboard if you're on a laptop, and have your desk chair level with your typing surface to avoid hunching your shoulders. Go hands-free. Bluetooth earbuds or a speakerphone can help you avoid bending your neck over your phone. Sleep smart. Choose a pillow that is the correct thickness to keep your spine aligned. Look for one that is contoured or even adjustable. Or try to sleep on your side with your neck supported so your shoulders are positioned at a 90-degree angle to it. When a stiff neck is more serious. Consult a doctor if your stiffness is due to an injury or lasts more than a few days. If you're also experiencing numbness or tingling in your arms or hands, fever, headache, or difficulty breathing, seek help right away, as this could indicate a more serious condition, such as a herniated disc or even meningitis. Our next article is titled, My Diagnosis. Why did I always go from highs to lows? This novelist needed support to live a full life, by Leanne Toshiko Simpson, as told by Marissa Cohen. When I was in high school, I was into everything. Musicals, soccer, cross country. I always sprinted hard towards big goals. That was one of my superpowers. But I would quickly burn out and have to miss weeks of school to recover. During my final year, I was up for a big scholarship, and when I didn't get it, I was incredibly hard on myself. I missed a lot of school and struggled to turn in any work. That's when my doctor diagnosed me with depression and put me on an antidepressant. A manic episode. But the medication caused an intense shift in my personality. I went from super depressed to super manic. I did dangerous things, like jumping out of a 40-foot tree into a lake despite being afraid of heights. When you're manic, you feel as if you're invincible, as if all your ideas are the best in the world. You also lose your insight. Friends tried to tell me that I had changed, that something wasn't right with me, but I didn't believe a word they were saying. I went back to my doctor, and that's when I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder type 2. I switched to an antipsychotic, and thankfully my mind began to slow down. Being outside the school environment helped me get myself together. I really should have taken more time off, but all of my friends were going to university, and I didn't want to be left behind. I went away to school and crashed in my first year. I became suicidal, and my parents had to bring me home. I transferred to a campus near my parents' house, but I still wanted to fit in, and the late nights and parties kept me from making my lifestyle changes. I tried smoking weed, which is fine for some people, but in me, it triggered a psychosis that lasted 3 weeks. When I suddenly saw messages written to me in the bathroom graffiti, I knew something had changed. That was when my diagnosis switched from bipolar 2 to bipolar 1, which is generally more challenging to manage. Slowly getting better. In my third year at university, I was so tired of struggling all the time that I checked myself into a psych ward. It didn't really help. The hospital was underfunded and understaffed, and it didn't provide much talk therapy, just meds. I decided to take a year off from school to work, and I worked at the local mini-golf course. That turned out to be the best thing for me. I made a close friend there who was also dealing with mental health challenges, and we helped each other build coping strategies. I also got a new psychiatrist, worked on developing a healthier lifestyle, and found a new medication that didn't have terrible side effects. Eventually, I went back to university. I realized that I couldn't keep holding myself to the standards of others because my body and brain just didn't function the same way as most people's. I took fewer classes and worked at a slower pace, eventually graduating with high distinction. I ended up working part-time while getting my degree in creative writing. That gave me the flexibility to teach and volunteer. A big part of my healing was leading writing workshops with psychiatric patients. Now, I'm 32 and I've just published my first book, Never Been Better, a romantic comedy about a woman with bipolar disorder struggling to deal with love and recovery. I've made so many powerful connections with people who know what it feels like to carry an emotional load. When we get a chance to share it with one another, it's a better world. What is bipolar disorder? For people with bipolar disorder, life can be a series of emotional highs followed by depressive lows. During a manic period, you are sleeping less, having lots of energy, engage in impulsive behaviors, and may be thinking and behaving in a way that is out of character, says Christine M. Crawford, MD, Associate Medical Director for the National Alliance on Mental Illness, NAMI. Such times are often followed by periods of depression that can get in the way of daily functioning. Severe manic episodes may involve symptoms of psychosis, including hearing voices. Less severe episodes, known as hypomania, can feel like bursts of energy, leading to a person to stay up all night and generally feel elated, says Dr. Crawford. There are two basic categories of bipolar. Bipolar 1, a history of at least one manic episode lasting at least a week or requiring psychiatric hospitalization, as well as episodes of major depression. Bipolar 2, a history of major depressive episodes in periods of hypomania that are less severe than bipolar 1. If you are experiencing highs and lows, speak with your doctor, who can recommend medication, talk therapy, or both. When people with bipolar disorder are engaged in regular treatment, they are able to live meaningful, fulfilling lives and really thrive, says Dr. Crawford. Tell us about your diagnosis. Did you have symptoms that took a while to properly diagnose? We'd love to hear your story. Write to letters@prevention.com. Moving on to our next article from the health section, titled Solutions: Soothe a Sunburn. Expert-backed ways to ease the ouch and prevent burns in the first place, by Alyssa Jung. We know, sunscreen is essential, and 1 in 5 people will develop skin cancer by the age of 70. Just one sunburn can increase the risk of skin cancer, and cumulative exposure to sun, even without getting sunburn, can also contribute to that risk, explains Marissa Garshick, MD, a board-certified dermatologist in New York City. In fact, having gotten 5 or more sunburns doubles your chances of developing melanoma, a particularly dangerous form of the disease that is likely to grow and spread. Even when you don't get burned, and even when it's cloudy or rainy, the sun still does damage, including contributing to fine lines and wrinkles, says Mona Gohara, MD, an associate clinical professor of dermatology at Yale School of Medicine. But none of us is perfect. After all, nobody hates the look of a bronzy, sun-kissed glow. So it's not unusual to look in the mirror after a sunny day of fun and see a rosy flush or even an oopsie, lobster red burn despite your best sunscreen intention. The next time the sun gets the best of you, try these dermatologist-approved strategies for soothing and healing a burn, along with lifestyle tweaks to help protect your skin from future sunburns. Here's exactly what to do. If it's a mild burn, applying a cold compress or a topical anti-inflammatory, such as cortisone, can help dial down the heat and discomfort. If you don't have ice packs, place a damp washcloth in the freezer for a few minutes, suggests Dr. Gohara. Ibuprofen may reduce inflammation to help prevent sunburn from worsening as well as reduce pain, Dr. Garshnick adds. Extra relief. Taking a cool bath or shower, then gently smoothing on moisturizer or aloe vera gel may feel nice and help return hydration to skin, Dr. Garshnick says. For severe sunburns, more serious sunburns may blister or peel, but never pick skin or pop blisters, as this can cause scarring, further damage, or infection, cautions Dr. Garshnick. Instead, take a cool shower and use a mild cleanser, then gently pat skin dry and apply a moisturizer to lock in hydration. Using a thicker ointment, like petroleum jelly, may speed up healing. Protect skin by wearing loose clothing and covering blisters when you need to go out in the sun. Extra relief. If you have severe sunburn along with symptoms such as fever, nausea, vomiting, or headache, seek medical attention as soon as possible to be sure you get proper treatment, Dr. Gohara urges. A doctor can rule out or treat something serious like heat stroke. If you keep getting burned, tweak your lifestyle to make sun protection front and center. I set a sunscreen alarm to remind me. You can also place SPF 30 plus next to something you use every morning, like your toothbrush and toothpaste. Stashing it in your purse or car is smart to help you remember to reapply it, says Dr. Gohara. Extra relief. Scan your medicine cabinet and makeup bag. Certain meds, some antibiotics and antidepressants, and citrus essential oils may boost sunburn risk, Dr. Gohara says. Skincare ingredients like retinoids, glycolic and salicylic acid, and benzoyl peroxide could also heighten the burn risk. Our next article is titled, How to Buy It, Cooling Towels. These high-tech must-haves can help you beat the heat, by Hannah Gion. Whether you're conquering an intense workout or spending hours outside in the garden, keeping cool in the heat is essential. Cooling towels to the rescue. Unlike regular towels, cooling towels are designed to offer immediate relief, says Katie Carrillo, a certified strength and conditioning specialist and the owner of Carrillo Fit. They bring a cooling sensation to your skin, helping you stay comfortable and avoid overheating. This makes them especially useful in reducing the risk of heat exhaustion and heat stroke. To use a cooling towel, just wet it with water, wring it out, and snap it a few times. Then apply the towel anywhere on your body that's in need of relief. Around your neck is ideal for full body cooling. When the cooling towel is placed on your skin, it draws the heat away from your body, explains Patricia Grievous, CPT, a corrective exercise specialist and nutrition coach and the founder of Strong Her Personal Training. The water in the towel evaporates as it pulls away the heat, creating a cooling effect. When choosing a cooling towel, here's what to keep in mind. Pick the best material. Most cooling towels are made from high-tech cooling fabrics like microfiber and polyvinyl alcohol, PVA. Microfiber is a popular choice due to its efficient water absorption, says Carrillo. This material is also soft and lightweight, as opposed to PVA, which is hard and rigid when dry. Once wet, however, PVA becomes soft and spongy, providing prolonged cooling without the need for frequent rewetting. Towels made from PVA act like sponges that can hold more water for longer periods without feeling heavy or transferring moisture to your clothing, says Gravis. Look for UPF protection. If you're planning to use a cooling towel outside, it's important to find one with ultraviolet protection factor, UPF. Look for a cooling towel with UPF protection of 50+ that will block 98% of the sun's harmful UV rays that can cause skin cancer, says Dr. Gravis. Three great cooling towels. Best overall. Frog Togs Chili Pad Cooling Towel. $15 at frogtogs.com, spelled FROGGTOGGS.com. Stay cool for hours with this top-rated towel made of highly absorbent PVA material. Designed with a UPF 50+ sun protection, it is a great pick for outdoor activities. Best lightweight. Mission Original Cooling Towel, $15 at mission.com. Made of a soft and smooth microfiber material, this cooling towel from Mission, which provides UPF 50 sun protection, feels comfortable on skin and is lightweight, making it easy to wear and carry around. Best value. Sukin Cooling Towel, $14 for four on Amazon. And that's spelled S-U-K-E-E-N. These affordable microfiber towels come in a set of four, so you can always have one ready to go. Plus, as each one is tucked in a compact waterproof pouch with a clip, it's simple to pack and carry. Our next article from the health section is titled, This is Your Brain on Climate Change. Living on our heating planet doesn't just affect our lungs, hearts, and immune systems, but can also harm our brain's health, affecting our moods and behavior. Read on to know what to look for and how to cope. By Merrill Davids Langdoe. You're standing outside of your office building on a sweltering summer day when someone passes you a little too closely. It's not a big deal, but sweating and uncomfortable, you suddenly feel like screaming. Watch where you're going! Beep. But they're already down the block, so you stand there steaming, literally and figuratively. How unlike you! Yes, well, what you're like, what we're all like, may be shifting because of climate change. There's been a lot of attention devoted to how a warming world affects our physical health, from additional heart and lung disease to increases in waterborne illnesses, ragweed allergies, and more. But less has been paid to why climate change alters the mind. In fact, with temperatures and other climate effects continuing to rise, more people will find themselves suffering psychologically. A growing number of scientific studies underscored the link between climate change and mood disturbances, aggression, learning and productivity loss, and mental illness and infectious disease. Even Alzheimer's disease has a climate connection. This makes perfect sense when you stop and think about it, says Clayton Page Aldern, author of the new book, The Weight of Nature, How a Changing Climate Changes Our Brains. When we say changing climate has a bearing on cognition, behavior, decision-making, and psychological well-being, we're actually describing another physical effect on our bodies. This is brain health, he says. The change to our psyches, says Aldern, stems mostly from even hotter average temperature and longer-lasting heat waves with more extreme temperatures. Other documented culprits include increase in pollution particles in the air, harmful algae blooms, and brain disease vectors like ticks and mosquitoes traveling further, all of which are influenced by heat. What to expect? As far back as the 1970s, scientists were linking outdoor temperatures with psychological effects. In one study at the time, researchers found that riots were more likely to happen on hotter days. Now that the climate is warming ever faster, a growing body of research in the past decade really gives us a much more nuanced understanding of how subtle changes in temperature affect human flourishing more broadly, says Jusing Park, PhD, an environmental and labor economist at the University of Pennsylvania and the author of a new book, Slow Burn, The Hidden Costs of a Warming World. Here are some of the ways in which research says we are being affected. An increase in aggression and irritability. More drivers honk their horns and exhibit road rage when the weather is warmer, research has found. Crime also spikes, especially gun violence. In fact, researchers have calculated that the rising temperatures from climate change may lead to an additional 5 million assaults and 22,000 more murders in the U.S. by the end of the century. We see heat-related aggression reflected in social media posts, says Calton Miner, PhD, a research scientist at Columbia University's Data Science Institute. Miner and his colleagues examined more than 8 billion posts on Twitter, now X, over several years and found many more negative tweets on hot days. During the intensive heat wave that struck the Pacific Northwest in June and July of 2021, people posting in the area were a whopping 10 times as negative about many topics as before or after it. Our level of irritability also affects our decisions, even after we get out of the heat. Canadian researchers who studied U.S. asylum judges who determine whether immigrants may stay in the country found that the judges were less empathetic on very hot days. Every 10 degree Fahrenheit increase outside their air-conditioned courtrooms led to a nearly 7% decrease in asylum granting rates. Other researchers have linked heat with less than compassionate behavior. When a baseball pitcher's teammates are hit by throws from an opposing team, the pitcher is more likely on hot days to retaliate by hitting batters. When it's steaming outside, people are more prone to overinterpret slights and escalating conflicts, Aldern says. A fall in productivity, learning, and intellectual risk-taking. Because body temperature always needs to be close to 99 degrees Fahrenheit, having it just a few degrees higher or lower merits a trip to the emergency room. Many internal processes work to cool or heat us when outside temperatures are extreme. On especially hot days, those systems in your brain put out extra effort to keep tissue cool, Aldern says. The brain similarly struggles when too many toxins from pollution in the air assault it. Energy that otherwise might go toward higher order thinking and problem solving gets directed to basic functioning instead. The result is that work or school tasks become a struggle in the heat. Steel factory workers are much less productive on hot days, scientists have found, and students don't fare as well either. When Park and his co-authors tracked millions of students as they retook the PSAT exam to see how much knowledge they'd gained from one year to the next, they found that the achievement lagged in communities that had more than 80 degree Fahrenheit or higher days and where schools didn't have AC. Since this scenario is more frequent in poorer communities with more Black and brown students, Park estimates that hot temperatures may account for some 5% of the country's racial achievement gap. Increased ground-level air pollution, including that from carbon dioxide, also affects our ability to reason and take careful risks. A wealth of academic evidence suggests that we see decreases in productivity, cognition, and critical thinking when people are exposed to higher levels of CO2 concentration, Aldern says. Scientists have even tracked air pollution in relation to gains and losses at the New York Stock Exchange over a 15-year period. Each time toxic particles in the city's air increased by one standard deviation, same-day market returns dropped 12%. Investors may be less willing to take risks when they have foggier brains because of toxins, the study authors believe. Brain diseases like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are more frequent. Chronic air pollution, which is exacerbated by heat, can enter the brain through the nose and mouth and cause low-grade inflammation in brain tissue. Air pollution is a literal poison, Aldern says. If this inflammation continues long enough, issues like dementia and Parkinson's disease may result. Scientists who recently examined the brains of more than 200 deceased people who had lived in Atlanta found that those in areas with the highest traffic-related pollution had the highest levels of the brain's plaques associated with Alzheimer's disease. What's more, rising temperatures are expanding the range of mosquitoes, including those that carry malaria. One symptom of this devastating disease is severe and lasting changes in the brain. Depression, suicide, and anxiety go up. Perhaps it's not surprising that scientists have connected extreme heat with mental illness. On very hot days, more people go to the ER for treatment of anxiety, schizophrenia, and other mood disorders. Deaths by suicide also rise when the temperature does. Mental illness especially strike people whose homes and communities are destroyed by the ravages of climate change, such as floods, wildfires, and stronger hurricanes that last year alone displaced more than 2 million people from their homes. Months after Hurricane Harvey hit Texas in 2017, residents were still reporting higher than average levels of depression and post-traumatic stress disorder. Anxiety about climate change in general is occurring in so many people that psychologists have given it a name, eco-anxiety. When you read headlines about what has happened or what is to come, you feel hopeless and fearful. Those feelings are real, Aldern says. Why this happens? The exact mechanisms by which heat changes our brains aren't yet clear, but scientists have a few theories. One is the impact of extreme heat on the modulation of the mood-regulating hormone serotonin. One of the things serotonin appears to do is regulate the degree to which you are or are not impulsive, Aldern says. Miner observes that the heat has a big impact on sleep. We know from prior sleep studies that restricting sleep increases the same adverse mental health outcomes we're seeing with higher temperatures, Miner says. He recently found that higher outdoor nighttime temperatures coincided with people getting less sleep. Humans are generally better to adapt to cold by dressing warmly and throwing on extra blankets than to heat. This effect was seen even in the U.S., where air conditioners are abundant. There are no easy ways to avoid these effects, though the most beneficial action is to urge our government and corporations to minimize the coming changes in our climate. In your daily life, you can temper mood changes by finding ways to stay cool, such as spending time in air-conditioned malls or theaters when temperature spikes. Employing stress reduction techniques like slow deep breathing may counteract increased angst, as can getting professional help if you feel depressed or suffer from extreme anxiety. Awareness also goes a long way. Connect the dots by checking the thermometer when you feel mentally off. Most people aren't aware until you point it out and then say, "Of course I'm more aggressive when it's hot out." We can all recognize these effects if we focus our intention on them, Aldern says. 4 ways you can help the planet and your mental health. More climate change is inevitable, but the worst can be avoided if we all take steps now, writes Rebecca Solnit in the book Not Too Late. In a free downloadable pamphlet from the book, haymarketbooks.org/pdfs/32, Solnit outlines some of the most beneficial actions. Encourage a transition away from fossil fuels. Prod your state, city, or school district to switch to electric vehicles and rooftop solar, and take other actions, such as painting roofs white, to reduce energy use. It's crucial that the world transitions away from the fossil fuels that are primarily responsible for the warming. Speak out. Write letters to congressional representatives insisting that they listen to citizens over oil and gas company lobbyists. You can also protest banks that continue to invest in climate-harming fossil fuel projects. Vote for the planet. This applies to the presidential election and also to elections at the state and local levels. Then hold elected officials accountable for following through on their promise. Connect with others. Join people in your neighborhood and in national online groups such as Moms Clean Air Force, momscleanairforce.org, and Science Moms, sciencemoms.com, in which women are making a difference. That's it for this installment of the Magazine Rack. I've been reading from the July 2024 edition of Prevention Magazine. I'm Emily. So long until next time.